The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
The main character of Plug is dirty and disgusting, and there's a scene in this film and you see he's got his big mutton chops, he's wearing a hat, he's making these grunting sounds.
The terrible Australian Be Jermaine.
Marcy, there's a scene for poor Barry McKenzie where French police shoot up an entire box of Foster's beer with machine guns.
It contains coarse and explicit language.
No, absolutely nothing. There's nothing there. This is shit. This is a shithole of a movie.
Mature themes.
I knew it was going to be a documentary about sex, but I thought it would be more about love and relationships and stuff like that. I didn't realise it was going to be about venereal diseases.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
G'day everyone, this is Be Jermaine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome to this very special bonus episode of the Ozploitcast, the podcast where we dissect every Ozploitation film from the very beginning in the 70s right up until today. Now, my usual co-host, Super Marcy, won't be able to join us today, but don't worry, she is still here with us in spirit. And I also know, listeners, it has been a little bit since our previous main episode of the show, but don't worry, the show will be back very soon. But in the meantime, though, Marcy and I thought, you know what would be a fun idea? Why don't we do an audio commentary for a film that we had previously done on the show? And even though Marcy's not here today, I am joined by two very special guests who are making their debut appearance on the Ozploitcast. They are writers, actors, and also married in real life. And that, of course, are Todd Martin and Trish Erickson Martin. Hello, Todd and Trish, and welcome to the Ozploitcast. Not too bad, guys. Well, I'm glad you're both here because Marcy and I, we were both introduced to you, at least in person, through actual communication through our good friend Chad Suva's YouTube trivia game, A Bloody Good Time. And it was during the conversations we've had that you guys are big fans of a particular Ozploitation film. And it's the one we're going to be doing a commentary for today.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. Razorback. He's the one, he kept mentioning it. Razorback. And we're like, glad to do it. And it was like,
so I first saw this movie probably 86, 87.
Oh.
My mom and dad rented it. I can't say that. Rented it. There you go. On VHS back in the day, and like the selling point at that time was Gregory Harrison was in it, who was Gonzo from Trapper John MD, which was like huge at the time and everything. So it was kind of weird to see Gonzo, you know, out in the outback fighting a giant mutant boar. So
yes. Well,
I heard about the film. Mm-hmm. So this is more of a recent thing for me. So, we love movies like this, and we love any kind of exploitation films or anything retro or vintage or whatever you call it now.
Mm-hmm.
So we just realized earlier, Trish was born the year that this movie came out.
Yeah.
So
this movie is the same age as I am. So it's funny. Like, oh my goodness.
Indeed. And yeah, it's definitely one I look forward to discussing with both of you, because I have a bit of a history with this movie as well. So I definitely look forward to this. And we haven't done an audio commentary for any of the films that we have previously done for the Ozploitcast. So I feel like this will be the perfect one to kind of do an occasional bonus episode with, by starting with this one. So we might as well get straight to it. So for all of our listeners out there, what you need to do is look up the film Razorback if it is playing on any streaming services in your part of the world, but it is also available on DVD, Blu-ray, and if you live in Australia, it's also available on 4K as well via our Umbrella Entertainment. So we're going to start the film from the very start. So I'll count us down from 5, and when I say go, that's when you play the movie, then our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. However, though, if you're not interested in watching Razorback, first of all, how dare you not want to watch this amazing piece of exploitation cinema? I still reckon this will be a fun listen to regardless. So Todd and Trish, are you both ready to head to the Outback with Razorback?
Oi.
Alrighty, let's do this. Counting down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. The Greater Union logo. And it's funny though, I mean, it probably doesn't sort of stand out to either of you, but Greater Union, besides being film distributors for films, they were also an actual cinema chain here in Australia as well. So yeah, but they went out of business like a couple years ago, unfortunately. So
That's a bummer.
Look at the kangaroo.
Oh.
We got to put a kangaroo not too long ago.
Yeah, we went to a place here in our state in Kentucky, and they had the whole down under thing, and there was kangaroos and everything.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
Let's be I grew up in the country, so I was already surrounded by kangaroos, and even at one stage, I even had a pet kangaroo. Yes, I'm that cliche of an Aussie. Unfortunately, we only had it for a short time, and then it passed away, unfortunately. But the thing is, though, like, kangaroos, depending on which species, because there's different types of species. You got your blue kangaroos, grey kangaroos, red kangaroos. The red ones are the ones that you always see photos of, and they're, like, really bulky and can crush a bucket.
Speaking of kangaroos, I've got a BB kangaroo right here.
No.
She has trouble getting on the bed, so.
Yeah.
Hey, the kid looks like the kid from Ghostbusters.
I know, it's Oscar.
It looks like Oscar from Ghostbusters.
5 years before Oscar.
I don't know. I think I'd always kind of be freaked out if I had a bird on my bed like that flapping around. Oh, look. Possessed. I mean, around.
Well, one thing I think is also interesting is, like, you just know you're in for a ride just based on the cinematography alone of this opening scene.
Right. It's very neat. I like it.
Yeah,
like
it was
shot there.
Yeah, it was I believe it was shot by Dean Semler, who would actually go on to win an Oscar for Dances with Wolves.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's cool. Well, that was just saying there's
yep.
kind of a weird.
You know, the exact same thing happened when I was a kid.
Giant boar came and got
me. Thankfully, I was able to escape. This movie is based on my life.
If he survived, or if he didn't survive.
I'm not going to lie. I never saw this film until I was like in my teens. But I always knew of it because my siblings used to watch it all the time. And one day I would have been at least maybe 7 or 8. And I think I walked in on this opening scene where the boar takes the kid. And it traumatized me so much. I was like, nope. And I just walked out of the room and never saw the movie till like years later.
Oh my God. That's funny. It's funny what kind of traumatizes you. And then you look back and you're like, what? What? It's like, exactly. You know, it's kind of like,
But I don't think that happened to you, Todd, when you saw the film back in 86.
I was a big chicken, so I was like about 11 or 12 when I saw it. So,
Well, he watched a lot of scary movies very young.
Yeah.
Aw. Poor grandpa.
Yeah, sure. Grandpa destroyed half that house and took a baby.
I know. That's what I said. I love that. The reasoning, the logic in this whole thing, it's just like, okay. Yeah, all right. You know, it's like, I would assume a tornado or some kind of storm took it away, half the house, the kid away or something. I mean,
Well, I know one of the reasons, I think what makes this opening kind of interesting as well, because at the time this was a few years after the Azaria Chamberlain disappearance, which of course the well-known where the kid was taken by a dingo and how that sort of
dingo,
yeah, and the media onslaught of that because the mother was blamed for it and everyone thought that she murdered it, but then years later it found out that it actually was a dingo. So this kind of opening was kind of inspired by that.
Kind of a play on that, yeah. That makes sense.
It's a well-known fact that the Razorback and the Dingo were in cahoots. See how many babies they could eat.
And exactly.
They didn't like old people. They were trying to frame them. So.
Yep.
I actually saw the one Meryl Streep, Cry in the Dark, based on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Razorback's a much better film.
I mean, if Meryl Streep wanted to, she could have played the boy in Razorback if she wanted to.
That's true. She's pretty phenomenal.
I think Jennifer Garner is going to play a horse in the remake of Mr. Ed.
Oh.
So mean. Catty. He's so catty.
Yeah, there's a really good scene where she goes, "No, Wilbur, it's a sprain."
He's dumb.
Jeez.
Objection.
So funny.
Well, this was actually directed by Russell Mulcahy. This was his second film. Oh, Ira Davis did the score. And Ira Davis is the lead singer of the band Ice House. They, you know the song from Electric Blue?
Ice House,
He directed this?
Oh, no, Ira Davis did the score, but Russell Mulcahy directed the film itself, and this was his second film, but up to this point, he was a well-known music video director, and he directed a lot of music videos for Elton John, Duran Duran. I think the I'm Still Standing music video from Elton John, he directed that. So in this film in particular, I guess, because it's kind of an early like work of someone who worked predominantly in music videos and then transitioned over to making movies.
Yeah, there's kind of been a bigger surge of that in recent years of people that just do music videos doing movies. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, you know.
Mm.
I think Fantastic Four, the one, was directed by it, wasn't he?
The one from 2015?
Yeah, wasn't he?
No, he did Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, who was it? Somebody did.
Might have been the 2000s one, but, you know, I think... Like, just ones off the top of my head that I can think of, David Fincher, Michael Bay, they started off making music videos.
Yeah.
I think, who else? F. Gary Gray, Anton Fuqua. Like, all these guys started off making music videos before they made films. But
they're little movies, I mean, basically. Yeah. So
that's kind of a lost art. We were just talking about that the other day, how music videos, they don't really have a storyline or anything anymore. It's
they're just kind of a lost art.
But we love Ice House is awesome. I love Electric Blue.
That's a great song.
I listen to it all the time. Out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
Electric Blue.
Yeah. And that's one of those songs that really takes me back to the 80s, like more than more than a lot of the others. And they would show it on MTV at like in 86, 87. And it just really brings me back when I hear that song. So
that's cool.
Yeah, well, Ice House are a really good band. I think I'm trying to think what is their most well-known album. Like, I think another song of theirs that is probably well-known is Great Southern Land that was used in... Young Einstein. Well, I mean, the song was already a big hit in Australia, but it's like a classic. Yeah.
That's so ironic. We were just talking about Yahoo Serious, like, I swear to God, earlier this afternoon. So is he still doing anything? Or?
Actually, no. Like, the man has only made three movies, like wrote, directed, and starred in three movies. And he has not made a movie in 24 years. And he hasn't been in anything else.
That's so weird. It was like probably like 5 hours ago we were talking about what happened to Yahoo Serious.
I know.
Yeah. All the posters are on the wall.
Yeah, the tomatoes, radishes.
Yeah. It's Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Watch out, I think my parents actually had that picture on their wall. So you can
like everybody has like the same plate or the same like knickknack in their house. It seems like it's like, oh, my grandmother had that one, or you know, it's always kind of weird what you find that in common.
We just discovered my mom has like two of the same pictures that were used on the set of Mama's Family in her kitchen. Like they're the exact same. Oh, look at the dog.
Let's just throw every Australian animal we can in the.
He's just running back and forth. That's hilarious.
I mean, I don't know what you two know about emus, but emus are very interesting animals because when they sort of pair up, when a male and female emu pair up, the females are actually way more aggressive than the males. And so when
that's true to life.
I mean, the females actually lay eggs, they abandon the eggs and the dad has to take over basically it's the dad that raises the kids once they hatch.
Wow. And then they can want to sell insurance to people.
Liberty Mutual.
You know, she looks a lot like, her name escapes me, the actress that was in Chud. Oh my God, I can't think of her name. It's not her, but she looks a lot like her. And
I think she kind of looks like Lauren Hutton.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, she kind of does. Yeah, that's Judy Morris. Now, Judy Morris, at the time, she was a very prominent Australian actress, multi-award winner, won a whole bunch of actor awards, like the equivalent of the Australian Oscar for acting. And she kind of just gave up acting there for a while and sort of concentrated as being a writer. And she actually co-wrote Happy Feet for George Miller.
Oh, wow. I love Happy Feet.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
That's so cool. Penguins are my favorite. That's awesome.
So is this an accurate depiction of a hotel bar in Australia?
Oh, yes. I mean, I used to grow up in the country, so this is basically almost accurate. I mean, the town I lived in was a little bit more, because where I lived was like 50,000 people, so it's definitely looks a lot more, but going into bars and all that, like around this, like in the 90s, 2000s, yeah, it kind of looked like that. So it's pretty accurate for most part.
Now, cool. Kind of looks like Dave Coulier. Yes. Like I drinking the beer here.
He's just chugging it down too. He's like drinking it like it's water.
I like how basically the rest of the film, the actor who plays the grandfather, Bill Kerr, he basically becomes like almost like a Captain Ahab type of character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I never really thought of it that way, but you're exactly right.
Yeah. He's the old fella that's got a grudge. Yeah. That he's got a grudge against, well, an animal, but society as well, you know.
I don't want to give anything away, folks, but he shows up at the end and the boar hits him in the back with a hatchet. Then he dies. He spends all this time, you know, exacting his revenge.
No, actually, Todd, what really happens is he ends up being attacked by a giant white whale.
Yeah, exactly, right.
And there's a camel.
And then he's eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
Noisily on a boat.
Yeah, he's got that Quint quality too.
Yeah,
but
he sure does. He's going to start scraping the chalkboard.
Yeah.
See, I don't like, I mean, it's a cool idea to make a killer out animal movie centered around a giant boar, or like kind of similar to, well, that's the thing about what's interesting about this film. When it was being made, it was being sold around the world as Jaws on Trotters. That was basically how people describe the film. And it is pretty much Australia's answer to Jaws, and it's probably our most well-known kind of giant killer animal movie as right. well.
And that's cool that you say that, because that's how they kind of sold Grizzly over here. Girdler's Grizzly was Jaws on land, and yeah,
everything totally, was Jaws something.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Then you had one that was just a blatant ripoff. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a lovely
movie. I was one of the four people that actually got to see it in theaters in 82 before they pulled it. It was released as Great White over here, but it was, I think it was in theaters maybe a weekend, and then
they're like, is this too much like Jaws?
Yeah. But yeah, it was, so that's like my claim to fame, is I actually saw Great White in theaters. So.
Nice. Well, I think it's sort of, I think some Blu-ray company in the UK are actually releasing that film on Blu-ray.
We've actually got a bootleg copy of it. Now the FBI is going to come and Interpol is going to kick our doors down. Right. But yeah, and it was like a good 30 years before I actually saw it again.
And that capital was...
I know, like, that guy was, he was not happy. Yeah, I don't like the... I don't like these guys being mean animals. It's not cool, man. It's
we're both big animal people, and yeah. I know there's a bit where they intentionally are over a dog, so I'm not going to be happy when that pops up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they didn't really kill the poor dog, but I just...
It's sad.
I don't even like to see it in a movie.
Yeah.
I felt nothing when the kid got eaten, but...
See, that's why the what's the name of the website? Does the dog die? Is your friend?
Yeah. We check that on a regular basis.
Yeah, we use it a lot. So we've been known to turn off movies.
Yeah, because we've seen some that were just so like really just brutal, and I'm like, I don't want to see it. You know, or that scene in prequel to The Exorcist with the kid was really brutal.
Oh, the hyenas are ripping. Man, it went on forever too.
Chew.
Yeah,
that was a hard one to watch, dude. Yeah.
Well, the Babadook, I was like wanting the dog to survive and a kid to die. I know that's like a big giant metaphor for autism or what have you, but man, that kid was friggin' annoying. The dog was much more likable.
See, if I'm walking around and I'm seeing this stuff, I'm not gonna stick around, I don't think.
Well,
I just feel like there's going to be hell to pay at some point. Something bad's going to happen in this place.
Our dogs are behind us, and they're going to never eat dog food again because it's a pet food factory that they're working at here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, but it's just, Odie and them will.
BB are going to be like, I'm never eating that canned stuff again. After seeing that.
It's just a very creepy place to be in general.
Mm.
Ironically enough, my mom just said that same thing to me. What's up your hole, you American shit, earlier today?
He's dumb. Yeah, this is not a very sanitary pet food factory either.
I know.
I'm kind of just obsessed with what they're wearing, both of them, in this factory.
I know, right? I know, what the hell is going on there? They're in a terrible new wave band or something.
Yeah, it's funny to me, like, what's funny is this movie in a lot of ways kind of reminds me, or at least the visual look of it, is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where it looks absolutely beautiful to look at, but at the same time, it has this sort of grotty grittiness to it. Like, it just looks dirty while being beautiful at the same time.
It's like a purposeful grit grime. Mm.
And when it came out, like, I remember some kids at school talking about it before I saw it, and I was like, how scary can a pig be? But we find out.
Yeah, right?
I mean, pigs here in Australia, especially boars, are pretty scary. There have been instances where boars will chase people up trees. That's how scary they are.
We have geese that chase people.
Yeah. They did I can't think of it. It's Japanese or South Korean. There's one called Boar that came out like 2012 or so. And I'm assuming it was influenced by Razorback. I haven't seen it. But...
Yeah, that's also an Australian film, and yeah, that one definitely takes a lot of inspiration from.
Is it Australia? Back. Okay, I was thinking it was Japanese or South Korean.
Well, I know there's I know there's a South Korean one called, I think it's called Claw, I believe.
That's what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had my Killer Boar movies confused there for a second.
I mean, to be fair, there are quite a few.
Yeah. This is the first, though. So this is like a trendsetter.
Yeah, it's someone that threw out there.
And just for the record, I don't like car wrecks, and this bothers me. But,
yeah. What things like the rusty nail kind of thing? Mm. Or run you off the road?
Well, I mean, I mean, being that this is an Australian film, it's pretty much like it's stipulated in every film contract that there has to be some kind of Mad Max style chase in every Australian movie. Right. Even with in the really dramas. Cool. Exactly.
Well, and I like the fact that this chick is kind of a MacGuffin because, you know, you think she's going to play like be our final girl, so to speak. And
she has a hell of a time here.
Yeah.
Like, we spent are far scarier than the the Razorback. That's what's so funny about it is that it's like as scary as animals can be, people can be like way worse. Like just vile to each other.
And that's exactly.
It's really messed up.
And also getting to see the those killer animals take out these type of people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I like. I like that when it's like, oh, there he goes. Yep, he's gone.
Uh-oh.
Right? It's such a good, you know, like, hey. It's like he's a killer boar, but, you know, he takes care of business.
Fittingly enough, the one brother's name is Dicko.
Dicko.
You got Betty.
I don't know if that was intentional or
right.
Yeah, well, you got Betty. Yeah, well, Dicko would be a nickname for Richard, like Dick as well. I mean, that's the thing in Australia. We just put O at the end of everyone's name.
Okay, yeah. See, we just call him Dick here.
Yeah. Like, for example, I've been called Beto a few times in my life. Yeah, my friends and all that. So.
That's cool.
Or even like, it's funny, his name Betty, just Betty, but in the, he could have just been called Benno. That's another.
Yeah, right.
You know, I remember when I originally saw this, the scene was really hard to watch with your mom and dad.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, bam, don't show a boob. I know. I want to go over here and act like I'm getting a drink.
Yeah.
So you're not in the same room and being uncomfortable with mom and dad. Mm. You know?
Right? No. Oh.
Yeah. I think also, too, one thing I do love about this film is Russell Mulcahy, he brings a lot of really weird surrealism to the movie. Like, I don't know if you just saw it just before, but there's a close-up of, like, Betty's eyes, and they almost look like the type of eyes, like, when an animal, when you shine a light on an animal and their eyes go bright.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that use.
Hmm. Yeah, so you have the pig come and save this woman, and now the pig's like, she's mine now.
Let me turn into Cujo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Your friend of your enemy became your enemy. Oh, yeah. He's gnarly.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing design for the boar.
Right. Pretty free looking. That sound is pretty messed up, too.
Mm.
That in your nightmares.
See, I don't know why they would want to make a movie of a killer boar where basically anything in Australia can kill you. Every animal.
Why? Exactly. That is a weird choice. I mean, you guys have got a lot of things over there that'll. Yeah. Even your cute things will kill you. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, kangaroos, like. Because they use their tails to lean back and they kick you with their feet. But,
I must start doing that. I wish I had the tail.
Yeah, well, but their claws are so sharp they could actually disembowel you if they could.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And also
they get close.
And they also have a tendency to, like, and this is very true, like, they'll go to a watering hole, sit in the watering hole, and if any predators and all that thinking like, oh, they're trapped, swim out to them, they'll actually grab the predator and drown it into the water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Jeez. And platypuses, they actually have like a little hook under their arms that's poisonous that could actually kill you as well, even though, yes, they're friendly looking.
They're so cute looking, and that's just deadly.
Yes.
You got the really cool octopus with the blue circles, too, the blue rings. Is that
Blue ring octopus. Okay.
But everything that's going to kill you.
Oh, that poor dog.
Yeah, this guy. Here's again.
Dicko.
Dicko. They had a dicko. What the hell sunglasses are you wearing? That's weird.
It's like a sort of like half aviator glasses and the other half is like missing a lens. Oh, well, a regular kind of glass.
Yeah, right. They kind of both look like they were inbred or something. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be surprised, mainly because like both actors who play the roles, Chris Haywood and David Argue, they're like Australian character actors, and they're both great in this movie.
Yeah, that's so funny. They got them. They look real dirty and shaggy and crazy.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Gregory Harrison.
Poor old Gregory Harrison.
He was in a movie called For Ladies Only, where he plays a stripper.
He was a good-looking guy, you know.
Yeah, I remember they had it like at a convenience store where they used to rent videos back in the day. And I was like, holy crap, it's a guy from Trapper John MD. And like the chicks, apparently it was rented out constantly by these people in town because I guess they wanted to see Gonzo's Gonzo. I don't know.
Well, he was in that Frat House movie too.
Yeah, Frat House.
Yeah.
He's actually done quite a bit.
He's good looking.
He lived in his RV on Trapper John MD, like in a parking lot, if I'm not mistaken.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. He still looks pretty okay. He's got gray hair now, but...
Silver Fox.
I always just wanted to get on a bus and go somewhere like that.
Right.
I just think it would be cool. I know some people are like, ooh, I wouldn't get on a Greyhound. I think it sounds cool just to like go across country on a Greyhound, you know?
You've never been on a Greyhound. <That's fine>. You've never been on a bus for a very long time. It's not fun.
I like the fact that there's four. Not three X's on that bottle. There's four. And they sell beer.
One of my favorite bits of trivia about this movie is Gregory Harrison wasn't the first choice of Russell Mulcahy to play this role. Do you know who he wanted to play this part?
Is it Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson's what I was going to say.
Jeff Bridges.
Oh, I can see that.
I like Jeff Bridges.
And he really wanted Jeff Bridges, but the producers of this film said no, mainly because quoted as saying, Jeff Bridges doesn't have international appeal.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
The dude.
I mean, which blows my mind because up to this point in 84 when this movie came out, Jeff Bridges was already a three-time Oscar-nominated actor.
Right.
But exactly. He wasn't on Trapper John Young.
He said got a television actor to come out, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's kind of...
But all joking aside, Gregory Harrison does a really good job in this movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna bash him.
Well, I guess he'd been around for a while too, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't... It would have been probably a very different movie, I think, if he had been in it, though.
The
way he acts and stuff.
Mm.
And it's funny when you watch a movie now and it's like so-and-so was originally going to play this part.
And you think about it.
And you think about it and it's like, I think they made the right choice, you know?
Yeah, right. I've heard some where it's like, yeah, Tom Cruise was going to play this part. It's like, no, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It's just that appeal, whoever's appealing at that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, the film was shot near Broken Hill, which pretty much nearly every major Australian film was shot near. And I've been to Broken Hill a few times. It's a nice little country town and very much exactly like this landscape.
That's cool.
I mean, a lot of the Mad Max films were shot at Broken Hill. I mean, even recently Furiosa was.
Oh, that's cool.
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and a few others. Yeah, it's like, it's one of those towns where pretty much every major Australian film, even international films like Mission Impossible 2 was shot in Broken Hill.
That's cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. It's pretty neat. I like that.
And I think it's funny, you were talking about, we kind of brought in Jaws a little bit earlier. Mm. I think it's cool that you only see bits and pieces of the boar, you know, until towards the end, which, you know, you don't really get a few, a full shot of it until like there towards the end for about 10 seconds or so. But yeah. I think it looks the way that they shot it, you know.
Well,
and they had a fully animatronic boar that cost, you know, millions of dollars. And, but I think it, you know, the Jaws thing, it kind of makes it more effective when you don't see it right from the beginning. So, but you do see bits and pieces like the tusks and the eye and stuff like that. And I just think it works.
Yeah.
So,
no proof.
Not asking. It's the Australian, like you were saying, you know, it's Jaws, you know,
on land.
Basically. Yeah.
Yes. And it's a movie that terrified an entire generation of pigs in Australia.
Right? Well, and this is kind of like you're screwed because, you know, you can stay out of the ocean, mm-hmm. but you can't stay, you know, off the land, you know, coming for you.
And since I lived in the outback and I have seen, you know, feral pigs and all that, in my area, this movie was even more terrifying.
Oh, right, I bet. You're just like, oh, God.
But luckily, none of them is as big as the one in this movie. Those are kind of basically freaks of nature.
Dino pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I hate that the animatronics are sort of becoming a lost art.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. I love like, any movie that utilizes that. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's so much more effective
yeah
than computer generated, you know.
Oh yeah. But we definitely definitely seeing that, at least kind of practical effects and all that, at least making a comeback somewhat, especially in the horror world.
Yeah. And it's nice to see. Very nice to see.
Mm.
Place produces steam.
Yeah.
Steam and only steam.
White snake's going to show up in a second or before.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a White Snake video or some kind of.
Right.
Well, I mean, given that it's a proper music video director.
Yeah.
There you go. Power of Spock.
You kind of expect also like Duran Duran just to pop up at any moment as well and start singing.
I love Duran Duran, just for the record. Simon Le Bon. He's got the coolest name ever.
I always keep saying to people, like, anytime Dicko and Betty are on screen, it feels like they're out of a completely different movie. It feels like they feel more appropriate in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre style film.
They do.
In a way.
Very much so. Yeah, exactly. They're very, out of place. Weird. Eclectic.
Yeah.
Like them socks and shoes earlier. Jesus. What are they wearing? Sorry?
Yeah, you'd be sorry, all right? Chris is a big fan of Road Games with Stacey Keach.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Was that shot in like in a similar area here, do you know?
Road Games, well, the first half of it was shot in Melbourne, where I live, but then the rest of it was shot up on, well, across Australia, especially particularly the Nullarbor Plain, which is like this big, long stretch of road that goes for days and there's no town or anything. It's just one long stretch of road.
Well, that's terrifying. That's the kind of thing that terrifies me, just being in the middle of nowhere like that. And not knowing if there's anybody for miles and miles, it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
It was a lot more depressing than I remember. Not really depressing, but it makes you a lot more anxious because you have Gregory Harrison here with these two butt monkeys looking for his wife. And, you know, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
I think it
definitely is more effective as an adult.
Yeah.
You get the situation. And
when you're a kid, you're just like, where the hell is the giant pig?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Now you're like, oh, you're feeling with the guy. You're like,
I mean, I'm a little, would be a little cautious of any characters who basically you think, oh, they live in like a container and they realize it leads down into a giant cave and that's where they live.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So this scene, I think this is the scene that is classic. This scene is awesome.
Oh, I love that guy's butt crack there.
I know.
Well, here's another little bit of interesting fact. The show that he's watching, that's the Don Lane Show, popular talk show in Australia. And it's always funny to me, it's one of the most popular talk shows, like Tonight Show as shows ever in Australia. And it was hosted by an American who moved here and lived here. And Don Lane was a partial inspiration for David Dastmalchian's performance in Late Night with the Devil.
And that was phenomenal. And it's so funny because we went back and looked at clips from the show and stuff like that. And we're just like, wow, it really is just like it. It's really amazing.
Oh, yeah. And funnily enough, that movie was also shot in Australia as well. I mean, it was, but I mean, shot here in Melbourne, I meant to say. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I didn't know they shot a lot of episodes of Deadly Women. That, like, it's mostly shot in Australia.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
What channel is that on?
It's on ID? Investigation Discovery.
Yeah.
And it's
that's
cool.
Pretty cool that they shoot it there.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, it's just cost thing or...
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, because I know that, you know...
Like Vancouver, they shoot a lot of stuff in Vancouver now because it's a little cheaper.
Yeah, for shooting.
And I think that's cool. But I think that's why they do a lot of...
Well, and they're branching out. They're shooting everywhere now. Like, you know, they shoot Yellowstone out on a ranch in the middle of, Wyoming.
Yeah.
I think it also helps, like, Taylor Sheridan, who created Yellowstone, actually owns that entire land. So
that's true.
So it's, like, cheap for him because it's like, why shoot anywhere else where I have these thousands upon thousands of acres of land and I can just shoot all my projects on here?
And then Atlanta, they shoot a lot of stuff in Atlanta now. And it's... Hollywood's changing.
Yeah.
I really do think. It's just, like, kind of a different place. Maybe that's a good thing.
So I think they need to do a crossover where they have Razorback versus the guy from Wolf Creek.
That'd be
actually
awesome.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, like, Greg McLean, who made Wolf Creek, took an inspiration from Razorback as well, particularly
he seems like the guy.
Yeah.
Or Philip, he seems a lot like the guy.
That would be awesome.
Their neighbors of Mick Taylor. He only just lives down the road. He comes by every now and again to get some sugar.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that guy gave me the creeps. We haven't seen it in forever, but he really gave me the Wiggins, man.
Oh, yeah. TV series, and there's a sequel and a TV series.
I think they're making a third film at the moment, I believe. So
I was going to say, I think there's a third one in the works.
That's cool.
And he does such a good job.
Oh, yeah. He plays it so creepy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Gets into your soul.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. It's like I said, this, like, if Trish had been, like, disappeared in the middle of nowhere and I was with these two idiots, I mean, it kind of gets your anxiety level up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't like when people just disappear. So that's also a thing. Yeah. You know, somebody just disappears and you don't know what happened to them.
Mm.
It's also really unsettling.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you watch this movie kind of differently as an adult as you did as a kid. Because when you're a kid, it's just like, I just want to see this big boar eating people. It's not scary until it shows up, but it makes, you know.
You're like, kids, the creep factor.
Right.
And also I have questions. How did that car get up in that tree?
I know. That looked like, it's like, did the boar do that? Is he chucking
I'm going to assume yes.
He just, whew, I'm like, wow, that's impressive. God. Aw. Hi. Aw. He's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't kill it.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch him go after kangaroos since we went and saw a bunch of kangaroos recently.
So we have buttholes in it. maybe was to do that. It's called what is it, deer spotting, where these idiots take out these lights and
they
shine the light and make the deer and
Of course, I think that you guys' kangaroo population is a lot like our deer population, where it just starts getting wild and out of control. I don't like it that they kill
him. I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd rather be out there than in the truck with those guys.
Yeah.
I feel like
I take my chances with like a killer boar than those two guys.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. These guys. I don't know. It's kind of like a deliverance feeling here. It's like he's gonna make us feel like that boar.
And this would be me. I would be like, oh god, I'm.
I love that they're just wearing all these furs like they're, you know.
Yeah. I didn't realize until you said that they got like a Mad Max vehicle driving around.
Yeah.
I mean, and pretty much everybody in the Australian Outback dresses and drives cars that look like they belong in Mad Max.
Except for that guy, obviously.
Yeah.
He backed his truck up a tree and the Morgue Mungus showed up and kicked his ass. You know?
Yes.
Oh, man. I don't know. That was really fucked.
I loved The Road Warrior when I was a kid. I haven't seen it in so long. But
It's still so good. It's still so good.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
They used to show it like nonstop on HBO back in the, or on cable. We got satellite back when I was in the fourth, fifth grade, and they used to show it all the time. And
it was really kind of one of those, I don't know, I guess because I was a girl, I just wasn't as into it, you know. Like, but, every little boy I knew had seen it.
Yeah. I actually drew a picture of it one day in art class. I didn't know how to spell warrior. So it was like the Road Warrior, I think is what
Road Warrior. So,
which is me now because I don't like to drive. So.
You're the Road Warrior. Oh, boy. Yeah, I like the atmosphere is really well done on this.
Yeah.
I mean, the shadows and the, it's very beautifully done.
I think that's what kind of, again, makes this movie so unique, especially compared to other killer animal movies, is like, I mean, visually it looks amazing, but it has more of a surreal vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. Like him, yeah, totally kind of wigging out here, and I like, yeah.
So I used to write for horrornews.net. I did a list one time of, you know, the scariest animals, and the boar from Razorback was actually on that list.
That's good.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
He's a worthy candidate.
Yeah. He's tough, man. Like I said, and I do, or, you know, as a kid, I was like, just show the damn boar. But I appreciate it a lot more as an adult. You know, the bits and pieces of it, and it makes you, I just think it works.
It's very werewolf film right here.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's kind of got that whole vibe. It's like, as he's running, it's like, you get sort of a, American Werewolf in London kind of feel.
I have a really bad feeling they're going to remake it one day, and it's going to look like Bebop from the Ninja Turtles.
Probably.
It'll be like one of those things. Blumhouse will do that, where a guy gets bitten by a boar and becomes...
Well, it changed all of it. Change all the characters around. That's a close one. Pumbaa? Pumbaa, is that you?
He's in the elephant creature. And it's funny because the title character is not the only pig he's got to worry about.
Here, I know, right? So. Everybody's freaking out.
Because these pigs, man, pigs can bite hard, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'll take a chunk. But look at this. You saw their teeth. You've seen their teeth. They're crazy looking.
Oh, yeah.
Mess you up, it can. I mean, stomp you to death.
And it's funny. I think the movie poster, like the video, the VHS copy, the cover is awesome because you just see, you know, like part of the boar at the top, and then you see the truck and stuff. And
yeah, that's a cool shot right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, another fit trivia about this movie that I also love is, like, after when the film was released, Russell Mulcahy, he got a phone call from Steven Spielberg.
Oh, wow.
And Spielberg, at first, like, Mulcahy didn't believe it was him, so he hung up on him, but then Spielberg called back saying, right? Oh, it actually is me. And
That would suck if he didn't call back.
And Mulcahy said that Spielberg, one of the reasons he called him, because he wanted to know how he did some of the tricks and effects and all that during that dream sequence we saw before, but also the other one that's coming up very soon. Especially because I don't know if you both saw it before, but in a quick shot back there was actually a shot of two moons in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you kind of, it's definitely got to be, make you feel good to be like, holy crap, Steven Spielberg wants my advice, you know?
Oh, totally.
That is so wild.
Mm. I wouldn't know how to react to Steven Spielberg. Praise my movie, but also ask me, well, how did you do that?
Right, exactly. Right.
I'd be like, you're Steven Spielberg. You know all this stuff already. Why are you asking me?
Right. And I think that's one thing about Spielberg is he's at least willing to learn new techniques and things with his movies, because he's done so many and he does so many different kinds that he really does, you know, utilizes a whole bunch of different techniques from other directors. Mm. So I think that's cool.
A little jump scare there. I love the fact that pigs just give up that easily. Bye.
Bye. I'll see you later. Gotta go. Man, poor old Gregory Harrison not having a good day.
Not at all.
Especially water that is dirty like that.
I know, it's so gross. Ew.
I think if I was him, I would be like, man, this is going to look so stupid in my obituary. He was eaten by pigs.
Actually, I probably wouldn't know where he was. Like, some guy just disappeared somewhere.
Yeah.
Phew. Yeah. Nobody believe you. It's
actually
hallucinated everything.
Right.
Actually, one of my biggest fears in life, like, I always think about, like, what would be the worst way to die. And and my biggest fear is being eaten alive by an animal. That's my biggest fear.
That's horrible. Oh, I know. Anything where you have a long suffering.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what, and I'm terrified of sharks. He loves them, but I just don't think I could.
I want to hug a bull shark.
He's dumb.
I'd kiss him on his little snout.
Kiss him, and won't have a face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would probably get eaten by an animal because I'd probably go to it and be like, "Ooh, cute kitty," and then that's how I would get eaten. But
yeah,
but I think it was cute until it killed me. You know.
I mean, also, we have to remember, like, if you suddenly die in your house, your pets will eat you while you're on the ground.
I know, that's right. Well, but you know what? Hey, feast away. Keep you alive. It's like, if I'm already gone, I mean, it's grisly, but, you know. I love my pets.
I think our dogs and cats would call out for Chinese food.
If they knew how to use a phone, they would.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. It's such a cool scene.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, yeah. This whole sequence is just amazing shot after amazing shot. Yeah.
So wild. Yeah, it's just a neat kind of thing.
Mm. At the, because the film, when it came out, it was actually nominated for a few Australian Oscars, and it actually did win Best Cinematography, and well deserved, I might add.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole thing is just it's a fever dream.
Yeah.
Mm.
The voyage of our Homer in The Simpsons.
Right.
And also, too, it doesn't surprise me after when he made this movie, Russell Mulcahy's next film was Highlander. So that's, this is what helped him get the job on that film.
That's cool. There can be only one.
Yeah,
exactly.
which I think they're rebooting Highlander. I read the
other day. Yes. Chad Stralesky, who did the John Wick series, is rebooting it. Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
oh my god, he just fell back. He didn't.
Yeah, this is, yeah. And that old thing there, it's very much like an American Werewolf in London thing. Yeah. Wakes up.
Yeah.
Oh, like that. Oh.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah, the whole thing. It's very similar.
Be right back, guys.
Oh. Yep.
Here's the queen.
Yes. don't worry. It happens on the show. We don't pause anything on this show.
He's got the bladder of an ant, so. And this actress, what about this actress? I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, that is Aki Whiteley. Now, she has appeared in a few films and a lot of TV in Australia, but I think she kind of retired from the industry in Australia after the 2000s. But actually, okay. She was in Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was in, she played the captain's girl. So she was, one of the characters in that. And then she starred in this film.
That's cool. She's adorable.
Mm.
Got the little blonde.
Yes.
That's your eye candy for the film. Gotta have the eye candy.
Oh, actually, no, I take that back. She didn't retire after the 2000s. I read that wrong. She passed away in 2001. So I'm basically, I apologize for that audience.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, now I'm bummed.
I was like, that's even worse.
I know. That's, well, her career didn't die. Oh.
Yeah. And there's another little whore.
Oh.
I mean, they're cute when they're that little.
Oh, absolutely. Well, everything's cute when it's little. People are cute when they're little, too.
I mean, even when, because my parents have a hobby farm, and years ago, they actually had a pig, and so I had a pet pig there for a little while, named him Hammy, that was his name.
Hammy, I love it.
He was adorable. He would just run up to me, he would just, like, sit, and I would pat him, and he would try to eat my shoelaces.
I've heard pigs are very easy to train, really.
Mm.
That they're very intelligent, and you wouldn't think it, but it's so wild. Like, people have them as pets, like just like a dog or a cat.
Mm.
But
ideas
it's
for
kind
the
of a growing trend.
Have to get a pig for a pet.
Yeah. Right. Ooh, she's a cutie. He's gonna hook up.
I mean, I know I'm looking for my wife, but you know.
Yeah, I know. It is a little unsettling.
Yeah.
It's a little unsettling. It's like, whoa, I would hate it if Todd just ran off with somebody he just met. Forget her. She's not coming back.
But this chick's kind of dressed like somebody from A Clockwork Orange. I like her.
Well, she's got the white tank top on to showcase their bits. Mm. Yeah, this guy, he's a tough motherfucker.
So you gotta think this guy's just, I don't know, he's got a truck. I was like, was he just been walking this whole time? I couldn't remember.
Yeah. He's been shunned by society.
Oh, mm-hmm. Those dogs are so cute.
I know.
Oh.
Oh.
No.
Oh. No pigs were harmed during the course of this movie.
Right. This is not the boy you're looking for.
Actually, kind of does look a little bit like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. He does. Use the force.
Yes.
It's Obi-Wan.
He does. He's the Obi-Wan of the Outback.
You know what would be quite weird, though? You settle down to watch Family Matters one night with your grandkid and a giant boar.
Or the Don Lane show.
Yeah. A giant boar tears your house down. Yeah.
I mean, it tears this guy's house down.
I know, right?
This is the bit I was talking about. I was thinking it was earlier.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And I love the fact that here we go, folks. This is probably the money shot.
And I like that the TV is still on. Like, as it's going.
How the hell? I know, right?
Again, oh, now it goes off. But, yeah. Oh, there's a wombat.
Oh!
Wombats are adorable.
It's going to come back and get him. Get out of there, man.
I just wanted part of the house.
That's the thing about, I mean, if you ask me what my favorite Australian animal is, it's definitely a wombat because they're adorable as babies, but when they grow up, they're still adorable.
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
But the thing is, though, like, they're tough little buggers because there have been instances where, I mean, if they actually get run over, and I'm basing this on what people have told me when they've actually run over a wombat, it's like hitting a tree stump. That's how hard they are.
Jeez. I knew a girl who, she hit a vulture and the thing just exploded all over her car. She had to get the engine cleaned and everything because it just had stomach acid and guts everywhere.
Ugh. It's
like, oh, she said it smelled terrible. It's like, oh my God.
Like it literally exploded. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it just literally exploded. Just,
nope, like, there's some Vegemite right there on the table.
Vegemite. Gotta show that.
Yes.
Gotta get a super Aussie.
Yes.
Shrimp on a Barbie. Come on.
Well, that's another misconception about Australia. We don't actually call them shrimp here in Australia. We just call them prawns. So technically, it'd be prawns on the Barbie. Yeah. Well, I think it's because, I think it's mainly because, like, because when that whole kind of thing sort of popped up, it's like, oh, if this is going to be for other parts of the world, we'll call them shrimp. So that way people understood what they are.
Right. Right.
I'm going to start a band called Prawn on a Barbie.
Prawn on a Barbie.
I mean, shrimp on the Barbie kind of just rolls off the tongue a bit more.
It does. Prawns on the Barbie. Yeah. Doesn't work as well. Yeah. I think they call them prawns everywhere else.
Remember that movie that Cheech did when he split from Chong called Shrimp on the Barbie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We just watched that not that long ago.
Emma Sams.
Oh, that was funny. Classic.
Oh, I like how the big boar is just hiding behind that.
I know. It's like... I know, he's like, oh, he ain't gonna see me. He ain't gonna see me here. He's very intelligent.
and then the jaw shot there with the, would it be called a reverse shot where it's like, it's zooming in, but also, I mean, he's zooming in, but the
Hitchcock
background.
Hitchcock used to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear that fucking squeal in your nightmares. Where's our what the Yeah, that's pretty terrifying. It's time to go.
And again, it's like you barely see it, like you get glimpses, but it's not like the whole thing. So
right, you don't get the full scale until until later. Like you get these pieces of it, but once you see it, boom, it's more. But it is. It works well that you don't. It's a lot more startling when you get to the end.
Oh yeah.
Little as you know, the boar is actually from Krypton.
Boro the super pig. That's funny. Crypto could take him.
Yeah, I was gonna say Crypto could take on a giant boar.
Right. Yep. Crypto rules.
I think that's awesome. They have Crypto in the new Superman movie.
I think it's the only reason a lot of people are gonna see it.
See that if you want people to go see your movie, you need a superpowered dog. That's how you do it.
Yep. That's what I've heard people say. They're like, I hope this isn't the best. The only good thing about the movie.
It's going to be the part everyone's going to be talking about, regardless whether they love it or not.
Right.
Yeah. So we've just had our first confirmation that, yes, his wife has been eaten by a pig.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the old man sold the ring. He's going to sell the ring.
Buy this poop ring? He's going to give it to his new wife. Like this poop ring? Yeah, that's kind of depressing. I'd just be like, oh, shit.
Well, in his defense, though.
I'd be like, maybe he just bit off her finger.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, maybe.
She's only missing a few fingers, but she's still good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think in his mind, though, he's already forgotten about her. He wants to get in this girl's pants. So.
I don't think they're actually married in the film. I think they were just engaged.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Well.
Yeah, because when we see them together earlier in their room, I think that's when he proposed to her.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's thanking God now because he's like, "Man, she might be."
And she had a baby.
She was pregnant 6 weeks pregnant. So the boy has killed 2 kids in this movie.
Ghost 2.
It's like Jason Voorhees part 3.
Maybe the boy ate your baby and your girlfriend.
Exactly.
You okay? Yeah, I'm good.
I'll be all right. We weren't that serious.
There's the garden with the wind shot.
I know.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's another day, dude. Another tomorrow is another
day. Well, also too, like again, Ira Davis doing the score. Like if you actually sort of sit and listen to the score, it actually is a legit great score.
Yeah. He knows his music.
That's cool. Better to Electric Blue later.
I know, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that weird bit in the video where the saxophone player is just kind of hanging out waiting to start playing saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I've said it before, and I'd say it again. There needs to be more sax solos in music
these days.
That's also like a dying art as well. Like forget the guitar solo. We need more sax solos in pop and rock songs these days.
I know, right? Now it's just all synthesized weird stuff, you know?
Mm. Exactly.
And Diddy.
Yeah.
Diddy.
Someone who's more terrifying than
I don't know. I don't see. You got Kanye, too, so there you go.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Little yin yang.
God. There's a lot of scary people out there that I would rather.
I know, right?
It's like that. I don't know if you both ever heard of that trend. Like that was on. I think it was like an internet trend for a while, and it was like very telling. And it was like it was a question for women: what would you rather be safer with? A man you didn't know in the woods, or with a bear?
You know, I'd feel safer with the bear because he only has really one intention if he's going to kill me, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was a lot of women's answers was the bear.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's just, I don't know. You could really get a.
This is one of the Leonardo DiCaprio movies. You get raped by a bear.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was
the bear attack scene in The Revenant is scary, but I think the scariest bear attack scene I've ever seen in a movie was Backcountry.
Oh, Backcountry. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it and I know what it's about.
I'm really
curious about it.
Yeah, that bear attack scene is like one of the most traumatizing things I've ever seen.
Gosh.
I think one of the most least effective ones was, my God, it was a sci-fi movie with this bear and walking in a house. Kate Todd from Radio Free Roscoe is in this movie, and it like explodes out of the door and runs toward the camera at the end.
It's hilarious.
I can't think of the name of that movie yet.
Grizzly Rage.
Grizzly Rage. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a sci-fi original.
I'm not knocking Kate Todd. God bless you, Kate Todd, if you're listening. But yeah, it's just like that bear explodes like Brock Lesnar out of that house. And
yeah. It's like he just found Goldilocks in his bed.
Yeah. Which I'm really surprised they haven't done a Three Bears I better shut up.
I mean,
horror movie.
I mean, given you know, there's a lot of kind of like public domain movies and stuff like that, or movies based on like nursery rhymes. Don't be surprised if there is a Free Bears movie coming very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We got the Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse and Popeye. It's like, oh gosh.
Not unless a certain people on the show get onto that idea first. Just say, nudge, nudge. We
yeah.
bring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait to do my Mighty Mouse horror movie.
Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse.
Yes.
Tom and Jerry will come next, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That'll be a big one.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. The dog's fine. It's just he's off fine.
He's like, yeah.
Quick, go get help. Come on, Lass.
Yeah, go get help, Lassie. There he goes.
The poor dog.
Oh, he's so cute. Good dog. Bus stop. Man, it seemed like that bus had come from a long way away.
Yeah, well, I mean, that bus probably only comes by, at least in this region, at least once a day. So you basically, yeah. either direction. So basically, it's like, you kind of have to be there, and if you're 5 minutes late, then it's like, yeah, you're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's funny.
So how long have you been standing here? 23 hours?
You're just a little too late.
It's I'm just asking, there's a guy standing there for 23 hours, wasn't the first one on the bus when the new people showed.
See, being an Australian and having lived in the outback, one thing that makes me laugh more than anything, you got all these people like waiting on the side of the road, waiting all day, waiting for a car, truck, and they don't have any hats on. You're going to be sunburned by the end of the day. Really bad.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I didn't even think about that. Yikes.
Well, I did the hard way, and we were at an amusement park one time. My little head got sunburned, my bald head. Oh, look. No, this is...
No!
No! These bastards. A couple of jerks.
That's not cool.
You jerks.
Because you're a dick.
Because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He did it because he's an asshole.
Exactly.
Yep. Man, this poor guy was just bound to have the worst life ever.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. I mean, they broke his legs. And so basically, he just has to crawl.
Yeah. Ooh. Find out that's poison water.
Mm, it's coming out of a toilet.
Yeah. I didn't think it could take the toilet water in that condition.
It took out to an outhouse.
Meanwhile, 7 hours later, waiting for the bus.
He's just fucking completely baked. Oh, no. Yeah, that would suck. Just like, I hope the bus comes soon.
Wow, you're not the bus.
You know, some shit's going down.
Mm.
Come on, man. Uh-oh. In your mouth, not in your eye.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yep.
It, see, now the shoe's on the other foot. The pigs are knocking at the door and finding out what's going on.
Right. The three little pigs are trying to get in.
Oh, hey.
Oh, boy. Jesus.
That door provided no defense at all.
Right. Yep.
Sometimes, folks, you just gotta let it go.
Yeah. I think he realizes he's, like, fucked now, essentially.
Yeah. Man, it came back hard on him. Yikes.
Because I don't think those tin walls are gonna be able to force that ball back.
No, not at all. He just turned it into a soda can.
I'll just give him a carrot and try to hug him.
Yeah, I think that'll work. Good plan. I like that. That's a very Hitchcock-like shot there. Yeah.
Mm. But the interesting thing is, though, because when the movie was released on VHS in Australia, they actually released it uncut. So that Bill Kerr's death scene was more gorier, and it's included on the Blu-ray and 4K as like the VHS cut of it, like as a standard definition one. And his death scene is actually way more violent because you see the ball go up to him, bite his face and rip his face off his skull.
Awesome. Wow.
That's awesome. Ooh,
that's rough. That's rough.
That's how I want to go one day.
Your face bitten off. That's a good idea.
Oh, he just found the clues.
Awesome. I didn't know that. That would be really cool. You got to find that.
Well, it's on the Blu-ray for the movie, and I'm assuming it's also on the US Blu-ray as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I know they were trying to find like a good copy of the uncut version to do a restoration of that, but I don't think there's any of the negatives for that version still around. So, and only just the theatrical version. So.
Yeah.
I think even like the wife's death scene was even more violent in the in that version as well.
Oh yeah, they kind of wimpified it for us.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I love how he found the little marks in the ground.
Yeah,
got all that there. It's like, geez.
Running.
Gotta just have to be careful around here because, like, especially because where I lived, because my hometown is a mining town, so there's like a couple of mines around the area.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you kind of have to be careful because you could just be walking along one day and just like fall into a mine and like a mine that was no longer used.
Right. We're in cave country. We got a lot of caves in our area.
Yeah. What you call them? Sinkholes.
Sinkholes and caves, big time.
Mm. That's also another fear is a sinkhole, just walking along one day and then all of a sudden a sinkhole happens.
I know, that's terrifying.
We had a road one time that just kind of collapsed. There was a sinkhole under it and
there it goes. Yeah, there's nothing more terrifying than just the earth going beneath your feet.
Exactly.
If you get to run over the dog, you asshole.
Yeah. And the girl.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I'm here for revenge for the dog. What about your wife and that? Oh, yeah. I mean, the wife and, you know, the old guy.
Well, I was going to bang that other chick anyway.
But we're here for the kid, for the dog.
Dude's vest is very Han Solo.
Actually, kind of, yeah. That outfit that Gregory Harrison's wearing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take away the blue shirt and replace it with a different one, then yeah.
Yep. He's got the Ash from Evil Dead blue shirt.
Mm. Oh. And he goes out the mine shop and then he dies.
Yep. Bye-bye. They are locked and loaded. Finally, people are going to believe that there's a giant fucking pig out there.
Here's the thing, though. Nothing like this would happen today because, like, since 96, we've had very strict gun laws.
Oh,
so you couldn't have, like, mob mentality like this. I mean, you can still own a gun in Australia, but I mean, it has to be for a particular use, like either for hunting, farming, and that. And also, it's like very strict kind of thorough background checks before you can even be given a license to have one.
Right. Yeah. He looks so lost.
Yeah, gotta ride that camel.
That's fun. Let's go follow that boar. Gosh.
Fourth perspective, that ball was tiny this entire time.
I know, right? I was going to say, like, wait a minute. That was a tiny little boar.
It was a tiny little one. See, that's what they should have done, like, if they wanted, like, shots of the big boar. If they can't use the animatronics, just use a real boar. Kind of like what they did in Alligator, just have an actual alligator just up against miniatures and all that.
Right. Nice hat. Jeez.
I don't know where he got that hat from, because we don't have raccoons or anything in Australia, because that's a Davy, like a Davy Crockett hat.
Davy Crockett, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
And he's got like the big pad things around his arms as well.
Yeah. Oh, you're dressed in the dark.
And now it's all gothic, like a...
Yeah. So weird.
Mm.
You do that for Halloween this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Mulcahy, he could have just directed this as a straightforward killer animal movie, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to cook on this movie with the visual style and make it, like, so interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. Well, that's what makes it so much better.
Mm.
He did put, you know, some creativity into it. It wasn't just like a sci-fi kind of movie.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I love how nary a hair is out of place on his head. Still looks fabulous.
I was going to say, like, he's been wandering around a desert. He has had fallen into dirty water. He has been chased by pigs and a giant boar, and yet his hair is still perfect.
I know, not a hair out of place. He must have some super max hold gel on that.
Maybe he travels with a
mushroom. I guess. Yes. I don't know. That's funny.
I mean, never to get pet cat food.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's funny.
Mm.
Of course, our cats are so picky, they'd be like, I'm not eating that crap.
Yeah, cats aren't very picky.
Yeah, we had to, like, it's hard to, like, get cat food because some of them like one brand and one doesn't like the other. And
we spoil our animals.
At least with dogs, they'll eat whatever's in front of them. But cats are like, no, I'm not eating that. You got to give me something else.
Right.
Well, we had a cat cover up with a blanket some food one time, and I was like, okay, I'll get you something else, honey.
It's pretty bad. It was Pet Pack.
Yes.
Man, this guy. Oh. Itching for him to get it.
I know. And that's cool because, you know, they build up this jackass as the guy that you love to hate and can't wait to see him get, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a real idiot. I love his vehicle, though. I want one like that.
Kind of looks like the one they used on the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Everything links back to something else in this movie.
Right. Yeah. That's funny. Time to die.
I'm a kangaroo.
I'm a kangaroo. All right, asshole. Sure.
I like Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah. Put a bullet in his head. Come on, dude. Just pull the trigger. I'm not a killer, bro. It's the struggle.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Are you a killer?
Nope.
No, but the boar is. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. Oh, yeah.
Hell of a thing, man.
Oh, goodness. Very aggressive boar.
Yeah. The fog machine budget, though, had to be, like, huge.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, it's got such a great, like, just so many great chase scenes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What are we listening to?
So much suspense. I don't know. Electric Blue? There's no Electric Blue. Come on. What else would you be listening to?
On my knee. Oh, God. He is on his knees.
I always love it, like, if you actually sort of portrayed this scene in reality, this entire sequence would legit be in total darkness.
Yeah, exactly. What? Oh, God, I hear it.
And I believe in the uncut version, his death's more violent as well, from what I remember.
That's cool. Yeah, we gotta.
You had to done a copy of the uncut version.
Yeah, I'll see if I can try to track it down for you.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, like a good bit of gore.
Gotta get in my Max vehicle and get out of here.
Right, I know. That guy's that thing. I mean, I feel like it's gotta like drive like a tank.
Yeah.
I mean, it rolled over pretty easily, so it must be a very heavy vehicle.
Yeah. Like... Got a truck like dude from Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
That's a movie where they really kind of, I feel like, kind of spoiled the character by showing him too early.
Yeah.
I feel like.
It's kind of all over the place. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not really a fan.
It's all right.
Well, the guy who created the boar in this film, Bob McCarron, I'm sort of looking up more of his work, and he's done a lot of makeup designing for a lot of other movies, and one of them being Brain Dead, aka Dead Alive.
Oh really?
Wow.
Peter That's Jackson's?
Cool. Yep.
That's cool.
And also The Matrix as well.
Cool. Oh, wow. That's really cool.
I always thought what was the Sumerian and rat monkey thing? I always thought it was kind of cute. That's a good scene. I like the lightning crashing.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, you mentioning the rat monkey. I was back home visiting my family for my mum's birthday, and so we did a little party for her at a horse racing event, and I was like looking at some of the horses racing, and one of the horses was named Rat Monkey.
Oh, that's awesome.
She didn't get bitten by it, did she?
I'm not. Luckily, she did it and turned into a zombie at the same time.
Hey, right? Exactly.
Yeah, oh, I mean,
I would camp out up here, I think. And...
yeah.
Oof. He's like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Here you go, Mario. How you like that?
Yes. But yeah, the boar's amazing in this movie. And I think also, too, like the way it's shot, how they shoot the movie, it makes it more realistic rather than, say, looking, you know, obviously like, you know, an animatronic creature.
Right. Yeah.
Whoa.
Man. There's always something like that, too. You always get...
I was like, I was going to camp up here and throw barrels at you.
There's always, if there's some kind of catwalk, it always falls like this.
Yeah.
Catwalks are built out of tin cans.
Oh, it's kind of cute in its own weird way.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't kill people if it just had a better upbringing. Maybe if people were just nice to it.
Yeah. He was made fun of a lot as a child because he was oversized.
Exactly. Yeah. He was not the runt of his litter.
Right? They called him Gargantuan.
Uh-oh.
Didn't take it.
Maybe he started his period in the shower. His mom never told him that.
And that boar just knows how to get in and out of this factory.
I know, right? Yeah. He's been mapping this out. He had a little map of the factory.
Man. He's been working there for 5 years. He's got like a little hair.
Little hair net.
And nobody's ever noticed.
He was really hoping for an office job before this happened. But
that guy over there looks a little funny. He's got tusks.
He told them one day, and they wouldn't listen. They don't treat me right. I'm going to go on a rampage.
Come on. There's a little rats everywhere.
Yeah, this factory would not, like, pass a sanitary clearance. Like, no health inspector would come here and be like, yeah, this place needs a shutdown. Too many rats. It is gross.
They just get ground in with the rest of the food, probably.
Exactly.
That's where sausage comes from, folks.
Oh my goodness. Yep. You're just...
Oh.
life has just gotten a lot worse since she came to Australia. Yeah. It just really went south.
Oh.
All right.
Really,
oh. Oh, gross. I love it when they cough in your face. But, Victor Crowley did that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I got a mud dauber nest down one time and a bunch of spider corpses fell on my face.
It was gross. I had a freak. Dead spiders, all of them.
Yep.
It was crazy. That pick- I wasn't expecting it.
The boss is not going to stop until it just tears down the entire factory.
I know, right? Tear down this factory.
It's a disgruntled.
Yeah, it probably was a disgruntled ex-employee.
Yeah.
They didn't have hair nets that were big enough for it.
Right. Couldn't get it over that huge head.
Exactly.
His tusks kept getting in the way.
He really has it out for Gregory Harrison, too.
I know, man.
I mean, the pig really wanted to work with Jeff Bridges. That's why he's upset.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, dang it. You took my boy's role. So funny. Oh, man. You don't gotta... You gotta talk shit. I mean, come on. You gotta talk... You ain't gotta mess with his self-esteem.
Also,
I don't think he's gonna take offense.
Also, I don't know if I've mentioned it before. I gotta gonna give a lot of kudos for the production design throughout this whole movie. Not just of this factory, just... a lot of the other sets that are throughout this film, because a lot of it looks amazing.
It really does. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a very artsy kind of film. While also being a monster movie.
Yeah.
Good combo. You got our dangling hero.
Up.
Oh. Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of feel sorry for. Yeah, I feel sorry for him. He's just being a giant boar.
I mean, although right now I'm hungry for bacon, so.
Oh, yeah.
The pig's just a little misunderstood.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to murder all those people.
Oh, no. Well, he didn't get out of his way.
I think the biggest problem is that Grandpa put barbecue sauce on the baby in the beginning. And that's
that is true.
Everything.
Although, if the pig killed one of the dogs, we would have rioted.
Yeah.
We would have been like, fuck this pig.
Damn it.
Exactly.
The poor guy, he's exhausted now. They never show the person like after the fact just sleeping for 6 days because they went through this ordeal.
I mean, a couple of years ago, my dad and I and my brother, we were like redecorating the kitchen, like redecorating, put a whole new stuff. And after like 2 weeks of doing it, the day after it was all finished, my body literally collapsed after.
I bet.
Of the exhaustion. So I can definitely feel this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'd been out in the sun. He's been, the poor guy, he's been through it. And now he's going to.
Yeah.
Now he's got a new gal. Wow.
And he's
lost a gal, gained a gal.
He goes back to New York, and everyone's like, "Oh, how was your trip down under?" Well, my wife was eaten by a pig. I was attacked by a giant pig.
Right. But I got a new girl.
Yeah.
She's feisty.
Where's the ring? Did he keep the ring? Did he get it back?
Yeah, he got the ring back.
Okay.
He's clearly going to palm that ring off when he gets back to New York.
Yeah. There you go, sweetheart.
I was going to say, I got this great ring. Why does it smell like crap?
Yeah, I got this for you.
Well, there you go, everyone. That was Brazenback. Almost forgot the title of the movie just then.
We kind of are all over the place.
I love that Don Lane's got
He gets credit as himself.
Exactly. See, that's how much of a legend Don Lane was in Australia. He gets his own credit, right, even though he's on a TV screen.
Right, exactly. That's pretty awesome.
So Trish and I are going to be working on Razorback 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
No. It's going to be called Razorback 2 Electric Boraloo.
Yeah, there you go. We're gonna teach him to dance.
We're gonna have some bad boar that's trying to like knock down the
community center.
Yeah, and then
yes,
the good boar that's gonna put together.
He's
some
gonna dance
piglets
with some
yeah
scrawny white chick.
It's gonna the boar's gonna put a team together, and it's gonna be Piglet from Winnie the Pooh and is it Orson from the Charlotte's Web?
Oh, yeah. Babe, Big in the City.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's our audio commentary of Razorback. And thank you both, Todd and Trish, for coming on the Osploid cast and doing this commentary. And yeah, it was an absolute blast having you both on here.
It was fun.
We were so glad to be on here, man. We really appreciate you asking us to come on. And
yeah,
yes,
we love some Razorback. I know we were poking fun at it, but.
Yes.
But we love it, yeah. We do that when we love movies. So. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you're both more than welcome to come back anytime to the show, whether it be an official episode or another audio commentary. I mean, maybe we'll have to bring you both back. Maybe we might have to do, Elton John, in the credits.
There you
but,
go.
But, and Durant, I wonder how they were able to get these songs for them.
Yeah.
If you guys want, I can sing New Moon on Monday.
He can't sing.
Well, maybe we might have to do Mad Max 2 as a commentary in the future.
Cool.
So if he's more than welcome to come back for that if he's like. So.
Cool.
But awesome. Before we wrap up the show today, Todd and Trish, where can people find you and also your work out there on the internet this week?
You would.
So I just did a movie called Crackoon. It's like my most recent one. I think it's on Pluto for free right now.
It's pretty much, I think, wherever you can stream movies.
Right. It's on Amazon Prime, too. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram. I can never remember any of that stuff. But you can also email me at toddmartin101@gmail.com. So, and we'll try my best to answer you if you email me. You might be like, why am I emailing this idiot? But and if you just want, you know, just as a challenge, let's say send me an email at toddmartin101@gmail.com to say I bet you want to answer this, and I will try to answer it.
Challenge accepted. And Trish, what about yourself?
I'm on Facebook, and I'm in Trish Erickson Martin on Facebook, Instagram, Trish E. Mart, wherever, you know, I'm most social media, except for TikTok. I don't do that. But, we're just working on stuff together, writing stuff together and,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's more on the editing side. I'm more on the writing side.
Yeah,
but,
I do a lot more of the editing part. But
and she likes to sing, and I like to dance.
we may have to like do that for the next commentary for Mad Max 2.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah. See him dance.
Yes. And if people want to find me personally out there on the internet, you can follow me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd under Bede Jemide. You can find my solo podcast, Bede versus the Living Dead, and its spinoff shows on all podcast streamers everywhere, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And also, if you want to find all things the Osploid cast, you can find information on the show and listen to it on supermastering.com, on all podcast streamers everywhere, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you have been enjoying the show, definitely leave a rating and review as well. So, yep, that's a wrap for this special bonus episode of the Osploid cast. We hope, once again, you all enjoyed it. And we'll see you all next time. See you, everybody.
Bye.
episode here is where it will find you. She was the last one to see it.
She's missing. It was an accident.
Now, he must face it.
Thought you might know what happened to her.
Alone.